All right, let's get started. We're in Perek Yudalid, Mamish Be'emtza, Chanot Lakrav, getting ready for this unbalanced war between the 23,000 chariots, or the 30,000 chariots of the Plishtim Keneged, the 600 men, which Shaul has. Yonatan, started this rebellion by killing the Nitzavim of the Plishtim in Geva. And we saw how influential and how in control the Plishtim were of this entire area of Eretz Yisrael. As we see, they even have officers in Midland. They have so much control that the Jews can't even produce metal or iron or anything. They don't have blacksmiths. So they're essentially left without a fightable, even a chance, really. The only two weapons they have are weapons that are found by Shaul and Yonatan. So we're ready for the war, and we are in Perek Yudalid after the strong tochecha that Shmuel gives Shaul, and Shmuel sort of leaves, and Shaul is left to deal with the implications of this large war. Vayhi hayom vayomer Yonatan ben Shaul el Hanar nosei kelav. So once again we hear about Yonatan, and Yonatan goes over to his assistant. Lachav and Abrael matzav plishtim. Let's go and head towards the camp of the plishtim. Asher me'iver halaz. Okay, look at me. Me'iver halaz means like that way, right? It's interesting that Tanakh is using this lashon. Halaz means like ze. Right, so he's pointing and he's saying, "Let's go and fight the Plishtim that are up there." Ula aviv lo hige. But once again, Yonatan doesn't say anything to his father. Vishol, but in comparison, Shol yoshev b'ktzei hagiva tachad harimon asher b'migron ve'am asher imo kishish mos ish. We see Shol is frozen. He's sitting under the tree and really almost just frozen by this tochacha. He doesn't even know what to do with himself. Okay? Yeah. Kanira, that it wasn't exactly 600 people. Kanira. But there's not a lot of people, and he's frozen. But on the other hand, Yonatan has been taking the initiative. V'achia ben Achitub, v'achia ichavo ben Pinchas ben Eli Kohen Adonai, and Achia, the son of Achituv, the brother of Ichavod, which we know obviously from the grandchild of Eli, he is Nosei Ephod. He's with the Kanira, that he's the Kohen Gadol at that point, and he has the Urim V'Tumim. He has the Ephod. Va'am le'adah ki alach Yonatan, but the nation doesn't know that Yonatan had gone away. Meaning that who is alongside these 600 soldiers? The Kohen Gadol, the Urim V'Tumim, and possibly, as we're going to see, the Aron HaKodesh is also alongside with him. Ubein ha'ma'abaros asher b'keish Yonatan la'avor al matzav plishtim, shein ha'sel ma'aver mizeh, v'shein ha'sel ma'aver mizeh, v'shein ha'echad botzeitz, v'shein ha'echad seneh. So essentially, let's just picture this, like we explained. Gilgal is at the bottom of the mountain, and the Plishtim are at the top of the mountain. So on the other side of that mountain, there is a valley, and Yonatan is in between those two valleys, looking up from the other side at the Plishtim at the top of the mountain. And he's saying, let's point up, let's go there, let's climb up to the side of this valley, up to the mountain, and let's go and attack, right? And that's what these names of these valleys were. Hashena echad matzok mitzafon mil mechmash, v'achan minegev mul gava. So one side was Geva, and one side was Michmash. The Plishtim were in the middle, and Yonatan and his assistant, they want to go up and attack the Plishtim, try to take them by surprise. Wait,
they want to attack them, or they're trying to steal
the hill? They want to attack them, right? What does he say? Yonatan wants to attack them, okay? Vayomer Yonatan al Hanar, Nosei Kelav L'chav and Abraham Matzav Hari Lima Ela. Let's go and fight these Arelim. Ulaya asad Adonai lanu ki ein ladonai matzor loshia berav o b'maat. Yonatan, it doesn't matter, Rabin be'ad me'atim. If Hashem wants to do a tshua, He's going to save us. So let's go and fight against this encampment of these 30,000 soldiers, 30,000 merkavot. Vayomer lo nosei kilav asei kol asher bilvavecha. Netela chinani imcha kilvavecha. Sounds like this assistant is very, he's mevatel his das, and he says, go ahead, you know, I'm with you. Vayomer Yonasan, hinei anachnu ovrim al anashim v'niglinu alehem. We are going to, here's the plan. We're going to get to the edge where they can see us already from the top, and we're going to announce that we're here. So we're not going to even surprise them. In ko yomru aleinu, domu ad hagienu alechem, v'amadnu tachtenu v'lo na'al alehem. V'im ko yomru alu aleinu v'alinu, kinas nama adonai biyadenu, v'zer lanu ha'os. Yonasan is not totally crazy, and he says, I want to have some sort of nace, some sort of os, excuse me, from Hashem, some sort of sign that we're going to be successful. So what does he say to his nar? He says, we're going to go on, we're going to make clear that we're here. Now they're going to see us from the top, and there's going to be two options. Either they're going to send men down to come and attack us at the bottom of the valley, or they're going to be mezalzel, and they're going to say, come fight us, you weaklings. And if they say, come fight us, so then that's going to be an oath that what? That we're going to be successful. Now, why is that true?
Shouldn't it be the other way around? Because logically they would say come fight us.
No, it's the same
thing. No, they have the high ground.
So
there's
no
way
to think you have anything.
The walled cities by the Rambam.
They don't.
That what?
That means that they're weak.
You're saying, come fight us,
meaning
like they don't actually.
Yeah, some of them in Farshim point out, guys. We just have to run today, so I apologize. But some of them in Farshim point out that essentially what he's saying is he's really doing it al pi seichel, al pi higayon. He basically says, if they send down a group of soldiers to kill us, that means that they're taking us seriously and they're worried. So they're going to send someone down to make sure that we don't escape and go. But if they're saying come up here and fight us, so that means that like they're mezalzel, right? They don't really care about us. We're going to kill all of you at the end of the day. So let's see what the plishtim actually do. Vaygalu shnehem el matzav plishtim. So they reveal themselves. Vayomer plishtim hine yivrim yotzim min achorim asher yischabusham. They say, look, the Jews are here. Some of these Jews are here. They're hiding in all of these valleys. Vianu anchei hamatzavas yonasan ves nosei kilav. Vayomru alu aleinu v'nodia eschem davar. Come up and we'll show you who's boss. Vayomer yonasan nosei kilav. This is the sign that's it. We're going to be successful. Vayal Yonasan al yadav al raglav. It really sounds like he's climbing, right? This isn't a high steep incline. It sounds like he's actually climbing. Like vayal Yonasan al yadav al raglav v'nosei kilav acharav vayiplu lifnei Yonasan v'nosei kilav mimosei acharav and he's schlepping sort of this nar after him. So the description of the first impact, the first fight that Yonasan gives, he kills 20 people. Now that's impressive in of itself, but there's actually a description at the end of the pasuk which makes it even more impressive. It's a small measurement. Essentially, the Mefarshim are cholek exactly how small the measurement is, but Kanirah, it's a very, very small place, and what that means is that if he's able to kill 20 people in such a small location, that means that Yonasan was really a gibor. Like he had the ability, just like thinking in terms of he has one weapon, his nar doesn't have a weapon, and he's able to kill 20 people. It's a big morale boost. Right? And that's what Yonasan wants to do, is he really wants to invigorate the army, which is right now in Geva, sitting down, not doing anything. That's what he wanted to do in the beginning of the rebellion also. So Yonasan, not like his father, and we're going to see that there is going to be a gaining gap and separation between Shaul and Yonasan throughout Sefer Shmuel. And this is where it starts, really, is that Shaul is frozen, and Yonasan it does not freeze, and he takes initiative. Okay. Vati charada b'machane b'sadeh u'b'chol ha'am. Just like Yonasan wanted, it caused havoc. It caused havoc. Hamatzav v'amashchit chardu gam hema v'tirgaz haaretz v'ti lecherdas Elohim. What were they scared about? So al piteva, they're scared that there is like this gibor here, this guy who's like able to kill 20 people, but it's just two people. So what are they really scared about? So over here, we have to understand that cherdas Elohim means, just like we've seen in other wars, there's some sort of, I don't even know how to describe it, but we've seen it in other wars, in Sefer Shoftim and Sefer Yehoshua, in which Hashem just makes like this chaos, this confusion, this rash. I don't know if it was a noise, or maybe it was like an inner noise that people were like so, yeah.
More on the first part, that
you, yeah,
kill 20 people, maybe they're afraid it's another Shimshon.
It could be. But once again, even Shimshon, they have 30,000 chariots, right? So that's what the Cherdas Elohim is. If someone could find a better way to describe this, I'm not sure if it's like a physical noise or it's like a panic of like everything that we've planned is just like such a mess.
But if they're afraid of another Shimshon, I think it's a very valid fear, because,
right,
how did that end last time?
Right, Nachon.
People died.
Nachon. But once again, you're here with a huge army. That's what the Cherdas Elohim is. Shaul, meanwhile, sees from Geva, it's such a balagan. He starts seeing people are running, people are throwing their swords around, spears are going, blood is being shed. Count the soldiers. Are we missing someone? Oh, Yonasan and his Nosei Kelav are not here. So he goes to Achia. And who's the Achia? The Kohen Gadol. And he has the Urim V'Tumim. So he says, come, bring the Aron. Ki haya Aron Elohim b'yomahu b'nei Yisrael. The Aron was with Am Yisrael at that point, not only to help them win the war, but he's going to Achia to ask in the Urim V'Tumim. That's how they used it, by the Aron. So it was exactly what Shaul was supposed to do. Before you ask, before you go out to war, you ask by the Urim V'Tumim. However, look at the next pasuk. Vayi'ad diber Shaul el HaKohen, v'amon asher b'machaneh plishtim, vayilech halokh v'rav. As they're in this conversation, he's asking, and the Kohen Gadol is asking in the Urim V'Tumim, and these things took a little bit of time. Vayomer Shaul HaKohen, esof yadecha, stop. Stop! It's time to go. We don't have time to wait around for like this godly answer. Once again, there's this Shaul comes into this fight. He comes with his 600 soldiers, and people on the Plishti side are stabbing each other. There's a total balagan. People don't know what is what. So that's why you have to really understand that there's some sort of godly intervention over here. Now, just a question at the back of your head that you need to ask. It's like, Shaul isn't making the right decisions. So why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu making this huge miracle? That's a really important question we have to keep on asking ourselves. Right? And the Pasuk says that in addition to all of the balagan and the mihuma that was going on, by this Cherdas Elohim, there was another thing which helped the Jews. Va'ivrim hayu laplishtim ke'etmol shilshon, asher alu imam b'machanes saviv, v'gam hema lios am im Yisrael, asher im Shaul v'yonasan. What a weird pasuk. The Radak explains this pasuk basically saying the following. Just like in many times throughout our history, Jews were taken, and not only taken against their will, but even with their will, and they essentially became part of foreign armies. Like in, you know, the closest thing that I could remember is in World War I, when Jews fought against Jews in Europe, with the Russians and with the Poles and with the French. Jewish brothers were killing Jewish brothers. So what is going on over here? There were kanirah that were Jews that were enlisted in the Plishti army. And as these Jews start to realize that it's not kedai to be with the Plishtim anymore, so toch kedai, we could understand that within the Plishti camp itself, within the Plishti military itself, people are stabbing each other. So the Jews start saying, everyone's stabbing. Yeah, so let's go find a plishy and we'll stab them. Let's go and help with Shaul. So what a balagan, a cherdas elokim, which is going on. V'chol ish Yisrael ha-mischabim b'har Ephraim, all of the Jews who were hiding, remember we said that they were hiding in Har Ephraim, shamu ki nasu plishtim v'ibeku gam hema achreim b'milchama. The Jews also come out of their hiding spots and they jump along the bandwagon and start killing the plishtim as well. At this point, they do have weapons, taking weapons from the floor. V'yosha adonai b'yom ahu es Yisrael v'milchama avra. S base oven. So the war continues to go on, but this tiur, the expression which the pasuk uses, is the only other time in Tanakh which this expression is used. Right in Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayosha Hashem Bayomahu Es Yisrael, a great miraculous war, even maybe greater than Kriyas Yamsuf. 30,000 soldiers, 30,000 chariots. That means kechol, right? Kechol asvas hayam, right? There were so many soldiers, but Hashem does this unbelievable miracle, and the Jews are starting to be successful in this war. V'ish Yisrael nigash b'yomahu v'yoel shol esa'am limor arur ha'ish asher yochal lechem ad ha'erev v'nikamti mo'evai v'lotam kol ha'am lachem. So what happens? Shol sees this opportunity, and he says, the Plishtim are in such a bad place that we have an unbelievable opportunity. If they're running away, we can continue to run after them and really get them out of Eretz Yisrael b'chlal. So what does he do? He takes a shvua, and he makes the nation and the army with him take a shvua. And the shvua is that everyone's fasting. You're not allowed to eat. Now, why does he make this shvua? What's the thought process behind it? People will, you know, like sort of slow down, you know, you take a lunch break. Take a lunch break, you know, you'll... So Shaul says, I need the people to be totally focused on their job, right? I can't have everyone sitting around eating instead of going and fighting against the plishtim. Yeah, Yamin, what do you want to say? It's a bad decision. Why is it a bad decision?
People need fuel.
They need fuel. So that's going to be part of the issue which is happening here. But he thinks, and al pi higayon, you know, when according to normal logic, when people have like this energy, you know, like they have all this, what's the English word for it? It's not only the adrenaline, but it's the, you know, when a team is like leading, like, and you have all this momentum. Exactly. Thank you, Ezra. You have all this momentum. So Shaul doesn't want to take down that momentum, right? So that's his thought. Now, your thought is right. So who is really right? Kanira, there's somewhere in the middle. But Shaul takes, makes this curse. He says, Arur ha'ish asher yochal lechem. V'chol ha'aretz bo bayar v'yihi dvash al pnei asadeh. So they're fighting through this forest, and in this forest, Kanira, there were beehives, there was honey everywhere. People are, you know, just imagine, it's like a Nazir like walking through, like, you know, the people have, they're so hungry, they're deathly hungry. You know, they've been fighting now all day long, and they're walking through this sweet honey forest, and they're not allowed to touch anything. Yonasan now comes back with the army, right? He makes it back to the machane. V'Yonasan lo shama b'ashpi'ah v'yivisahan. He doesn't hear this shvua. He doesn't hear this klala. V'yishlach haskzei hamateh asher b'yado v'yitbolosa b'yarasta dvash v'yeshev yado al piv v'tarona enav. His eyes become, to translate that word is like miloshan or, right? His eyes light up, right? Yonasan has been fighting longer and harder than everyone else. Yonasan doesn't hear about this shvua, and therefore the entire army is running through this forest, running after the plishtim, and he goes, takes a little bit of an energy spark. Vayan ish ma'am. And Kanira, there was someone right next to Yonasan, and he says, Varma hashbei ish bi avicha sa'am limor arura ish asher yochal lechem ayom. Vayaf ha'am. The nation is so hungry. The army is so hungry, but your father made us take the shvua and a curse that anyone who eats is going to be cursed. How didn't you hear? Vayomer Yonasan, achar avi es ha'aretz. He says exactly what Yamin says, right? What did my father do? Like, what was he thinking? Re'una ki aru einai ki ta'anti me'at vashazeh. Look at my eyes. Look at the energy. Look at the energy boost that I had just from having a little bit of honey, right? What was Shaul thinking? Av ki lu achal achol hayom ha'am yishlal oivav asher matzah ki atalu raftam akam beplishtim. It's lehefech. Exactly what Yamin was saying. He says, only if the Jews were eating, you know, the Jews could eat on the way. And if they're eating on the way, the makkah against the Plishtim could have been even stronger. Vayaku bayom ahu baplishtim mimichmash ayalona vayaf ha'am me'od. Once again, the nation just they can't take it. Now, let's just remember about this. We're talking about at the core these 600 soldiers, and these 600 soldiers, they haven't had weapons. That means that they're not really soldiers. So all of these people are basically farmers and, you know, all different kinds. But no one's a soldier. And now you expect from these people who are laymen and, you know, just normal people to go and fight all day long. It's they're tired. And the Pasuk says it a few times. Vayavan, they're tired. Just reminds me of Emir Tashem soon. In a few weeks, I have Miluim. And I'm going to be like Ayef. Miluim is reserves duty in the army. So we have a imun for a week. And every time I go to Miluim, I'm like huffing and puffing, you know, like running up the hills with the backpacks and everything. And like that's Bechinas, what's going on over here. Everyone's in Miluim. No one's like no one's in the army there, right? So they're tired. And we see the product of that is not so good. Vayas ha'am is shlau. Vaykhutzonu bakar bnei bakar vayishchatu arza vayochal ha'am al hadam. They just give in. They give in. They don't really, you know, or the time had passed, and they give in and they start just slaughtering animals right and left. And the pasuk says vayochal ha'am al hadam. Now the mefarshim go into exactly what the avera was, what exactly it was. Right, we know that there's an Indian called Lo Tochlu Al Hadam, right? That you're not allowed to, and Lo Tochlu Al Hadam also is not so clear what that mitzvah is. Is that Kisui Hadam? You guys know what Kisui Hadam is? When you cover the blood of the animal. The Mefarshim over here, however, suggests something else. It was that Al Hadam means that there was still blood. They didn't do proper melicha. There's a lot of different suggestions over here, but clearly they're doing something that they shouldn't be. They're eating in a way that is not proper, right? And that's obviously a product of Shaul not giving them the time or even the feeling that it's okay for them to eat. V'yagidu l'Shaul le'mor hinei ha'am chotim l'Adonai le'echol al ha'adam. They come to Shaul and they say, look, everyone's doing avirus, everyone's eating. V'yomer bagadetem, and Shaul looks back at him, how are you doing this? A begida. Golu alai hayom evin gdola, bring a big rock here. Vayomer Shaul putzu ba'am v'amartem la'gishu alai ishoro vish se'eu ushchatetem bazev achaltem velo techto la'adonai la'echol al adam. So Shaul gives some sort of solution, some sort of big rock, and maybe through that rock they were doing malicha, maybe through that rock they were doing a better shchita. A lot of different suggestions in the Mefarshim. All right, it's not really the Iker part of the Perek. V'agishu kol ha'am ish shoro b'yado halayla v'ishchatu sham. Either way, the people can't really continue to last without any food, and they go on and they continue to eat. V'yiven Shaul mizbeach l'adonai oso heichil livnos mizbeach l'adonai. Shaul continues to build a mizbeach, the one he started building. And what was the one he started building? Kanirah, the one in Gilgal, right? In Gilgal, he was supposed to wait for 7 days, and he didn't wait. And if we see that, this is something that is really ma'afien Shaul. This is something that really characterizes Shaul. In this story as well, he can't wait. He asks the Urim V'Tumim. He asks the Orm Vitoomin, and then what does he say? No, I can't wait. There's something like very, you know, he can't wait for Dvar Hashem. But once again, the question needs to keep on ringing in our ears exactly as to, so then why is like this big Hatzolah happening? Vayomer Shol. Says, now you ate, let's go, let's continue fighting through the night, which is not a simple thing, until the morning. So he says, let's go and continue fighting against the Plishtim, let's totally get them out of our country, we'll totally kill them. We have all the momentum. And the Jews say, okay, Beseder, whatever you want. But the Kohen says, Nikrava halom el Elohim. Let's ask Hashem, like, what are you making all of these decisions for? So Shaul says, oh, Taka, you're right. Vayishol be'Elohim ha'ireid achrei plishtim, titnein b'yad Yisrael. Should I go and fight the plishtim? Like, aren't you, like, a little bit late, like, Shaul? V'lo ano b'yomohu. But there's no answer. There's no answer. Hashem doesn't answer anything. Vayomer Shaul, Geshu alom kol pinos ha'am ude'u re'u b'ma ha'isa chatas hazos hayom. Shaul realizes that something is wrong. Right? Something is wrong. I'm not getting an answer, and that means that there's that something bad happened. Let's find out what this chet is. Ki chay Adonai ha'moshias Yisrael kim yeshno b'yonasan b'ni kimos yamus ve'ein oneu mikol ha'am. Vayomer al kol Yisrael atem tiu le'ever echad v'ani v'yonasan b'ni nie le'ever echad. Vayomer ha'am al shol atov b'inecha asei. Shol starts trying to figure out, maybe it was someone that ate early, maybe that's the reason why Hashem isn't answering, but it can't be me and Yonasan. He's so convinced that it can't be me and Yonasan. Me and Yonasan will stay on this side, you guys will go on the other side, we'll do this go-round. They said, okay, go ahead, make this go-round. Vayomer Shaul el Adonai Elohi Yisrael, hava tamim ve'lakid Yonasan v'Shaul v'am yatzo. Out of those two, rock, paper, scissors, shoot, ends up coming back on Shaul and Yonasan. Vayomer Shaul hapilu beniu ven Yonasan beni. So now let's figure out whether I did something wrong or Yonasan did something wrong. Velakid Yonasan, and Yonasan was picked obviously because he ate. Vayomer Shaul el Yonasan agidali ma'asisa. What'd you do, Yonasan? Vayaged lo Yonasan vayomer ta'am ta'am ti b'kteh amateh asher biyadi me'at dvash inini amus. I didn't know that you cursed, so I ate now I'm gonna die. Vayomer Shaul. Okay, you're gonna die. However, doesn't it remind us of a little bit of a story? And right, Yiftach. Story of Yiftach, like mamish, like right in our eyes. And we mentioned back then the story of Shaul and Yonasan. However, Shaul's hachra is just like Yiftach's hachra. That's it. You're gonna die. That was the shvuah. Vayomer ha'am el Shaul. Hayonasan Yamus Hasher Asa Yeshua Agdola Azos B'Yisrael. Like, you, because of Yonasan, we're here, not because you were sitting on your tuches. He's not going to die. Chalila Chay Adonai Mipo Misa'arat Rosho Arza. Someone stands up. If you even touch a strand of hair, Chalila. Kim Elohim Asa Hayom Azeh Vayiftu Ames Yonasan Velomes. They were poda. They were able to be put to the shvua, and that was it. So the nation stands up against Shaul in such an odd, like, Kilo, where is Shaul's head at? And I think this is really, once again, this is really just something which is developing in Shaul's, you know, he starts off as this charismatic leader, and he has this oz and he has this gevura, but something happens, and I'm not even sure what it is that happens, but something happens. Yeah.
I forgot what it was pointed out, maybe I mean, that he cares so much what everyone thinks. That's why he rushed, because everyone's ready to go to war, and he's waiting for the Kohen Gadol, so that's right. Why he rushed, and that's right. Also why here. Like they said, you can't kill Yonasan, so he's not going to kill Yonasan. Okay.
Right. And Nachon, it's a good Hara. It's a good Hara, yeah.
But it's the arm that's pulled in.
It says they were pulled in. Well, how would they pull it in?
There's a whole Masechta on Shavuos, like how you can go to a Chacham and
Nachon. That would mean that like someone else was like up dying to other people.
No, it was they were able to be mad to the Nedir in some way. Okay, let's just finish off the Perek Chevra. Let's just finish off the Perek because we're a little bit over time. However, Shaul doesn't continue fighting, and that's a schos for him because he asked, and he doesn't end up, he leaves. Pushtim go away. V'shaul lakad amluchal Yisrael v'yelachim saviv b'chol oivav b'moav u'b'nei Amon u'b'edom u'malchei tzova u'b'plishtim u'chol asher yifneh yarshian anything. Essentially, this is almost like a sikum of a little bit of his malchus, is that he was very successful in a lot of these wars, right? And almost like, and contrary to what you would think. Vayas chayal vayachz amalek vayitzei Yisrael miyad shoseyu. He was able to help the Jews out of all of their situations. Now the last psukim are just the names of his family. Vayu b'nei shol, yonasan v'yishivi. V'malkishua, v'shem shtei benosav, shem abchira meirav, shem aktana michal. We're going to hear more about them. Shem eish shol achinoam bas achimatz, shem tsar tzvoa aviner ben ner dodshol, kish avishol v'ner avner ben aviel, v'tiam milchamach hazaka u'plishtim kol yimei shol. This is something, the plishtim are going to be a problem throughout the entire days of shol. V'ra shol kol ish kibor, chol ben chayel v'yasveyu, I love. Okay, so essentially, just with the last 30 seconds, we saw this unbelievable, miraculous Yeshua, but Adafka came as in a time that we wouldn't expect it. Shaul, along this entire process, had made every bad decision until the end, when he basically decides not to go and fight against the Plishtim, to continue fighting against them. And just we see that his judgment is starting to be like really, really spotty and not so clear. Mirz Hashem, I think this is it for the Zman. So because tomorrow.